Let us turn again to the part of God's Word that we read, Psalm 27, and we will read again at verse 7 to verse 10. Psalm 27 from verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And so on. In this Psalm of David, we have the language of bold confidence. From verse 1, The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Enemies may surround us, but what need have we to fear? The Lord is our light. The Lord is our strength. And the Lord takes away fear just as light takes away darkness. Light scatters the shadows. The Lord is our salvation, delivering us from every danger. David says, Whom shall I fear? Just as Paul said, If God be for us, who can be against us? No one can be successful in their attacks against us. Yes, the Lord's people have great reason to be confident, strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, not leaning on any arm of flesh, but leaning upon Jehovah, trusting in God. And so, friend, if you can say with David, as he says in this psalm, that what is most important to you is beholding the beauty of the Lord in His temple, if you can say that Christ is precious to you, He is altogether lovely to you, and that sin is bitter to you, and you are following God, then you also may have this strong confidence and rejoice in the fact that God is your strength, God is your stronghold, as it may be translated, and you have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. And yet we see that David himself is weak in himself. That is, he is not strong in himself, but he is depending upon the Lord as his strength. And so, as we take up our text this evening, we will consider first that David is praying for mercy. Verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy upon me, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. David is praying for mercy. Secondly, we will notice that this is in keeping with the simple command of God, and that is to seek His face. God is He who says, Seek ye my face. We are to pray to Him out of obedience to Him. He calls us to pray. He calls us to seek His face. Thirdly, we see the response of David's heart. When thou saidst, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. That's the response of David's heart. I will seek thy face. I will. I want to. I desire it. I will seek thy face. And fourthly, we would notice the concern that a child of God has about God hiding His face from him. It is a concern to David that God would not hide His face from David. Verse 9, Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. And in the fifth place, we go back to where we started from, and that is the confidence of God's gracious help. Verse 10, David is confident that when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. The Lord will take me up. So these 5 points, following these verses in this portion of this psalm before us. And we begin with the prayer for mercy. Verse 7, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me." David is crying to the Lord. And notice that his prayer is with his voice. His prayer is audible. And we've pointed this out several times, but we're not going to hesitate to point it out again when it's here before us in the text. David is praying with his voice, not silently in his mind. You don't speak with your voice silently. That's impossible. So using his voice means he uses his voice. He's not praying in his mind. He is praying aloud. So here is the lesson again. Try to pray audibly. I'm not saying so that the people in the other room can hear you. No, we're to go to our closet and shut the door behind us. But praying aloud helps you. It clarifies your thoughts and desires. It confirms in your heart and mind that you are really praying to God and you are seeking Him. So David is praying aloud, praying for mercy. "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me." We all stand in need of mercy. We are all sinners deserving God's wrath and curse. But we are to lay hold of the mercy of God in Christ. As we are reminded of the shorter catechism question and answer about repentance unto life, it involves apprehending the mercy of God in Christ. There's no true repentance without that. Laying hold of God's mercy as His mercy comes to us through Christ, as the channel through which mercy comes, because Christ has done all that was necessary for the salvation of sinners. He has secured the salvation of His people. His name is Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins, and He saves His people from their sins by dying for their sins. As Paul says, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. So David is praying for mercy. David is a sinner, and David needs mercy, and David needs God's help. And David is waiting for an answer. He says, "Have mercy also upon me and answer me." Yes, he desires an answer, and so should we. We should not be praying as if we were performing a task, and then when we get up from our knees, we forget all about it. It's done. We go on our way. No, we're looking for an answer. Children, you don't pick up the telephone and dial the number and trying to reach your friend and be content that there's no answer. You're waiting for your friend to answer the phone. And so when we pray, we are waiting for God to answer us. We're looking for an answer. We're looking for God to hear our prayers and grant our requests, that He would answer us according to our need and according to His glory. So waiting upon God for the answer to our prayers. But in the second place, we notice the call of God to seek His face. David says in verse 8, "When thou saidst, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek." David acknowledges that God Himself has called us to seek Him. And now the words, "when thou saidst," these words are in italics. The words that are in italics mean that they are supplied or added by the translators. They are not in the Hebrew, but they are provided by the translators in order to help us understand the meaning of the text. The literal arrangement of the words are, "My heart said unto thee, Seek ye my face, thy face, Lord, I will seek." So the words, "My heart said unto thee," they come first. And then it is, "Seek ye my face." Here is David citing or quoting the words of God himself. And then David resumes, "Thy face, Lord, I will seek." So the words, "when thou saidst," they are not in the Hebrew, they are added. They are in italics, showing that they are provided by the translators to help us understand that David is citing the command of God to seek his face. "When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek." The point is, David is responding to God's command to seek him. "My heart said unto thee, seek ye my face, thy face, Lord, I will seek." It is God who is saying, "Seek ye my face." The phrase "seeking God" and "seeking his face," these phrases seem to be derived from Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 29, where God is warning the people that if they rebel against him, they will be taken by enemies, by the heathen, to a foreign land. And this is again Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 29. God says, "But if from thence," that is from that foreign land, "thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." So this seems to be the very first time that seeking the Lord is even brought to our attention. Of course, the command to pray to God and call upon God is there in the Bible, but seeking the Lord, seeking so as to find, it seems that it's here in verse in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 29 that it occurs for the first time. So then we have many, many, many other verses that speak of seeking the Lord. Psalm 105 verse 4, the psalm that we sang, "Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore." Beautiful words. And then, as we are saying again in Psalm 24, "This is the generation of them that seek thy face, O Jacob." Jacob is the people that seek the Lord's face. And so that we're very familiar with these words, seeking the Lord. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." But it is very sad that we can be so familiar with phrases like this that the duty of seeking God's face has almost lost its force with us. So again, friend, we remind you tonight to seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek his face evermore. Seek him with your whole heart. Seek him and don't give up seeking him until you have found him and you know you've found him. Seek him. And we're reminded again of Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13 about the promise that those who seek will find. "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." All your heart. Seek the Lord. Give it your all. And what encouragement we have to do so, because we don't seek in vain. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 19. "I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. If you seek me, you will find me." And that's what the Lord Jesus, the faithful and true witness, reminds us again. "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." There's the promise. And then he goes on to state the fact. He says, "For everyone that asketh, receiveth." Here is something that always happens. "And he that seeketh, findeth." This is not a promise. Yes, it's an implied promise, but he's stating a fact. Those who seek do find. It's a fact. "And he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." The Lord says to us all, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Thirdly, the response of the heart. Verse 8, when thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. David was seeking the Lord, and his seeking was sincere. He sought the Lord from the heart. His heart responded immediately. God called, David answered. Seek ye my face? Is that what the Lord says? Seek ye my face? Thy face, Lord, will I seek. So David's response was really a work of grace on the part of God, because it is God that produces that desire in the heart to seek God's face. God gave David the grace to respond to the call, just like Lydia, as we heard in the prayer. Paul preached, Lydia responded, because the call to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that call came with power, the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, at the same time. So Paul preached, and at the same time that Paul preached, power went forth by the work of the Spirit upon the heart of Lydia, so that the Lord opened her heart, that she attended or responded to the things that were spoken of Paul or that were preached by Paul. So there is the effectual call. And that effectual call is seen in David's heart response. Seek ye my face, thy face, Lord, I will seek. There was David's immediate response. It was from the heart. Seeking with David was no intellectual thing. His heart was in it. Is your heart in seeking God? David desired the Lord's face. Thy face, Lord, I will seek. He was seeking that God would lift up the light of his countenance upon David. Seeking God's face is seeking admission to his presence for the purpose of asking a favor, as it has been put. Again, seeking God's face is seeking admission to his presence for the purpose of asking a favor. Seeking God's face, seeking God's presence, seeking his help. And seeking his face is seeking the manifestation of his love, that God would show his love to the soul. Seeking God's face is seeking communion with Christ, just like Mary did when she was weeping at the empty tomb of Jesus. Her Lord was absent, and it mattered to her. She was weeping, and she was seeking the Lord. And she wanted the Lord to be present with her. As we pointed out, she didn't even know where the body of Christ was. Things were so dark to her because Christ, she felt, was not near. And so seeking God's face is seeking his presence or the manifestation of his love. But as we also tried to point out, that through her seeking, and because of her strong love to the Savior, she was rewarded with his presence. And so it is those who desire communion with Christ most are those who can expect communion with Christ most. J.C. Ryle points out that those who love Christ most diligently and perseveringly are those who receive most privileges from Christ's hand. So her desire for Christ, her desire for his presence and communion with Christ was rewarded. Christ came to her first of all. Well, then we have in the fourth place the fear of God hiding his face. Verse 9. So David is seeking the Lord and responding, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." Verse 9, "Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." The fear of God hiding his face. So even though David has grace in his soul and he is truly saved, still he is concerned not to lose the sense of God's favor. He is praying that God will not withhold from him the manifestation of his love. Spurgeon points out that a smile from the Lord is the greatest of comforts. His frown is the worst of ills. That's the way an exercised child of God feels. The child of God will say, "I don't want God to frown on me. That's the worst thing for me. I'll give anything, as it were, to avoid that. I want him to smile upon me. I want God to shine on me with his face." So here is David, a converted man. And David is not resting on some experience he had long ago. He wants present tokens of God's grace and love. So the true child of God will not be saying, "Oh, I had an experience of God's grace way back in 1972 or whatever the year may be. All is well, nothing to worry about." No, that's not the language of a true exercised child of God. If that's your language tonight, your situation is very fearful. And you should be concerned not to rest upon that, but look to God now. If we can put it this way, are your experiences up to date? Here is David. This is his language. It should be the language of a true, and it is the language of a true child of God. "Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger." It was a concern to David. "Thrust me not aside as someone who is unworthy to be noticed. Please, Lord, do not deal with me as a stranger, like someone who might say, 'I don't know you. Get away from me.' Please, Lord, don't deal with me that way. Put not thy servant away in anger." David perhaps was thinking about Saul. Saul had been unfaithful to God in his kingdom, and God put him away. And Saul was no longer king, and God had no longer had dealings with Saul. And that was a concern to David. David is saying, "Lord, I am thy servant. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. I have sought to obey thy commandments. No, I have not perfectly kept them. I have failed in so many ways. But it is my heart's desire to keep thy commandments and have respect to them, each one. I am thy servant. And Lord, thou hast been my help. I could not have gone through the trial on my own. I could not have faced this opposition before without thee. I could not have triumphed or performed the duty apart from thy grace. Lord, thou hast done it. Thou hast been my help. And what thou hast been, I pray that thou wouldst continue to be still. My help, my helper. What thou hast been to me in times past, Lord, I pray thee to be to me now. Leave me not, neither forsake me." Yes, here is David's concern. Here is David's desire. This is part of seeking God. "Leave me not, put me not away. Lord, do not leave me. Make me not go from thee. Lord, do not leave me. O God of my salvation, thou hast been near to me. Please do not leave me now. I need thee as much as I ever did before. I need thee now. But here is David's confidence as well, as we'll go on to look at this in a moment. But David may also pray, the Lord has helped me up to now. He has not left me yet. And I'm sure that he will be with me still. If the Lord has meant to leave us, why did he ever begin with us? Why did he take me to himself in the first place if he meant to forsake me? No, here is an argument for the doubting, poor, weak child of God. If the Lord has begun a good work in us, will he not continue it? Will he not perform it until the day of Jesus Christ? O God of my salvation, he's looking to God who has saved him, the God who will continue to deliver him. As Mary says, this is the Virgin Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 47, she speaks about magnifying God, my Savior. God, my Savior. Here is David. God is his Savior. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, he is the Savior. Beside me, he says, there is no Savior. Well, is this the language of our soul? What David has manifest in these verses, can we relate to them? Can we put our amen to these same words as if it were our own prayer? When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Is this our experience? If it is, then we may have the same confidence that David had, confidence of God's gracious help, just as David did. So he goes on to say, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Confidence of God's gracious help. The parents may stand for anyone in a near relation. Someone close to you, someone who's a good friend. And it doesn't necessarily mean abandonment. When my father or my close friend forsakes me, it doesn't necessarily mean they have deserted you, but there is a separation that has taken place. It may mean that they have left us by death. They have gone into the grave. They've forsaken us. They've left us behind. Or it may even be that we have been necessitated to leave them. There's a separation. I can't be with them. They can't be with me. But if that were to be the case, if that is so, well then, I need not worry and fear. The Lord will take me up. The Lord will be a constant aid and help to me. God's constantly present with his people. Whatever they may feel, God has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God doesn't depart from his people. There is no case in which they can truly depart from him. Remember, even when Jonah was running away from God to take a ship to go in the opposite direction of Nineveh, well, God, as it were, kept up with him, followed him, and did not forsake him, but dealt faithfully with him. The point is, God will be a refuge for his people, a very present help in time of need. And the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for them. His precious blood was shed for them. The Lord Jesus was obedient and offered himself a sacrifice in their place, to satisfy the justice of God, to reconcile his sinful people to himself, to God, He secured grace for their souls. By his work on Calvary, he secured the gift of the Spirit. He purchased their everlasting life. He purchased their final perseverance. And nothing, nothing shall be able to separate them from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, their Lord. So they have nothing to fear. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? If God be for us, who can be against us? The Lord is the strength, the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, just like the wild beasts, the ravenous wolves, the fierce lions, coming upon me to consume and eat up my flesh, they are the ones that stumbled and fell. It wasn't me. It is they who stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Because remember, as the sun rises, so the Lord arises upon my soul and dispels the darkness. The shadows flee away. My heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me in this, even in this, even in this war, even in this, I will be confident. I will be secure. Whatever takes place, because God is my strength, He is my fortress, a present help in time of trouble. So that after all, David comes to the end of the psalm and he says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He says it twice. As if to say, this is all I have to say to you. This is all the instruction I offer to you, because this is all you need to know. Wait on the Lord. That's all. If you wait on Him, all is well. He shall strengthen thine heart. So we've tried to consider David's prayer for mercy, that this is in keeping with the simple command of God to seek His face. David responded from the heart, "Thy face, Lord, I will seek." It is the concern of a child of God, lest God should hide His face from him. That's a true, healthy concern we should all have. And finally, the Lord is the strength of David and the confidence of God's people. So I ask you, friend, tonight, is Christ your Lord? Is He your salvation? Is He your prophet, priest, and king? Seek Him. Seek His face evermore. Seek His strength. And ask the Lord. Ask Him. Because those who ask, it shall be given. Ask the Lord that He would be your prophet to teach you. He would be your priest to save you from the guilt of your sin by His atoning blood. And ask Him to be your king, to make you willing in a day of His power, willing to submit to Him and to give you grace to be more than a conqueror, so that though an host should encamp against you, your heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against you, you will still be confident. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. May He bless His word. Let us pray. Mr. De Bruin,